Hello there, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading from the Bible. We're in the 11th chapter of Mark with 33 verses, translation and commentary. And then, as I've been telling you for days, sometimes these messages get a little bit long, and I've been wanting to give you a message on character. And this will be part five. We have some letters and commentaries. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to pour out His Spirit with an outward anointing for this service. Father God, we thank and praise Your holy name for eternity, eternity in heaven, and that You have clean escaped us from an eternity in the pit of hell in the lake of fire. Lord, I'm talking about Christians that don't profess to be Christians, but are real Christians. They see the blueprint in Your Word that tells them exactly what to do, and that they are to be intelligent, full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that to be diligent, and full of zeal. This is part of the blueprints for being a true Christian. And when you mention diligence, vigilance, and zeal, that means in doing exactly what Your Word tells us to do in every detail. And so, Lord, I pray that You will pour out Your outward anointing on this service, on me, and that You'll take over this program, that everything that is said in it will be from You, not from anyone else but You. That's including not anyone else including me, but only from You, Father. Take over the program, that the church will be edified, the born-again Christians will be edified and grow closer to a full body, the full church, the full true church, not religion, but the church, the body of Christ, and that the sinners out in the world will be convicted of their sins, and that they'll repent, that You may bless them rather than curse them, and that they will be able to escape the many plagues that You're now pouring out on the earth and that are going to intensify more and more entire cities will be annihilated. And Lord, You're not limited to tsunamis, earthquakes, or hurricanes and tornadoes. You have an entire bag full of plagues. Fire and brimstone, we see, came down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Salt, sulfur, fire. And there are so many other plagues that You have, diseases of every sort. People are healed if they will do what You say. They're saved and healed by faith in Your Word. And You know if the people of the world and of the church have faith, because You know if they're keeping Your commandments. Now, love, You say, is the keeping of Your commandments. That's true love, because if we keep the commandments, our loved ones will be saved. If we keep the commandments, souls will be saved. Other souls in the world will be saved. If we keep Your commandments, the church will be edified. The curses will come off of the earth if everyone would repent. But, of course, Your Word says they won't, because Your Word says that the entire world is in rebellion against You, and that Your wrath, the cup of the indignation, the wrath of the cup of indignation is filled to the brim, and now You're starting to pour out Your wrath, Your terror upon the earth. And we pray, Lord, that from these things that You're doing, that it has driven people to their knees, and that they really began meaning business with You. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is the entire duty of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, the false prophets have changed that word to reverence God. Well, when certain kings, when you put fear in their hearts, their knees smote together and they went to the bathroom in their pants, Lord, because they their kingdom was totally taken away and they died and their souls went into hell. And this is what everyone that will confront you that has not repented will do. Their knees are going to quiver. They're going to cry out for help from you after they've ignored you for a lifetime. They're going to go to the bathroom in their pants, and they're going to expire. That will be the end of them, and they're going to be standing at the judgment bar immediately after death, because your word says that and all men must die, and after death the judgment. And so we're not coming back as an animal or a bird or a fish or another human. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And there's only two places where people can go. One, for obedience, they go to heaven and they spend eternity there. Two, for disobedience, rebellion against your word, because your word is you. You, the word, are God. In rebellion, they go to hell, and then death and hell should be cast into the lake of fire, where the smoke ascendeth up forever and the torments ascend up forever. Lord, there's so many scriptures in your word that tell of the things that are happening on earth today, about the plagues that you're starting to rain down from heaven. And it's just, it will really grieve them when they find out that it was you, just as I'm telling them, and as your word says. And they will curse the people that are calling these plagues Mother Nature doing it. And they'll curse the people that are saying that it's just a natural disaster, when in reality it is you that is doing it, and it is a supernatural disaster. And as your word says, they're going to get worse and worse. These plagues that they've seen thus far, with all the diseases, infirmities, sickness, and earthquakes, and hurricanes, and tsunamis, and twisters, and typhoons, and all the other things that are happening on earth today, these are just the beginning of sorrows, your word says. And these sorrows will go away if you people in Radio Land, if they will just repent, Father. And we ask that that happens, that the church becomes more fearful of you, so that they will be living witnesses, that you're living in them and through them. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. It's so much better to repent here. And your word calls for reproof and rebuke, and also for scorners, that they must be smitten. It's much better that they be smitten here than to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, that all these things, that you'll anoint this service so strong that the people of the world will repent and the church will become more fearful of you, that the whole world will fear you. Now, your word is not doing that, Father, because a lot of people are not preaching the right, so you're pouring out your indignation, your wrath, your plagues on the earth. And just if people will receive that, and they'll say, hey, we keep trying to go back to open up the skin flints, flicks, and also the striptease bars, topless bars, bottomless bars, all the different filth and corruption that's in New Orleans. They'll go back to build it, but I told them that your word says that you'll tear it down again. And people out there, heed these warnings. I ask you to do that in the name of Jesus. Repent or perish. In Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now then, where's the first letter from?
Well, this is a statement from a man in the congregation in the Fort Smith, Arkansas church.
All right, so what does he have to say?
You know, whenever I first moved into this church, it seemed like I had 999,000 questions. But the more I read the Bible and listen to Tony's preaching, I don't think I even have one.
Doesn't even have one question anymore. Well, if, you know, you people don't understand the messages, and you have questions, send them in. I'll read them over the air, and then I'll give the answers so that you have the answers. You say, well, then one person has all the answers. Oh, yes, they do. God has all the answers. And the more that a person knows the Word of God, the I know the answers. And so you can trust in the false prophets if you want to, or if you want to trust in a real prophet of the Lord, then send your questions in here and get the real answer, all right? And if you doubt some of the things that your pastors are telling you out there, write in and let me know, and let's share your pastor's views with the people in the world and the body of Christ, and I'll promise I'll let you know if it's true or not, true or false. We'll have a truth or false section in this these messages, and I think that would be good to have something like that, because that's the way you'll get educated real quick. And then I'll give you scriptures and verse to show you that what I'm saying is the truth. All right, then what?
A letter from South Kearney, New Jersey. Dear Pastor Lamo, how are you doing? My name is Wolf. I am in INS custody. I hope when this letter reaches you, it will find you in the best of health. May the grace and peace of God be multiplied to you. My motive of writing you this letter is that one of my friends was reading the World Newsletter, and he gave it to me so that I could read it also. When I finished reading it, I prayed to God that he should forgive me for all my sins that I have done against him. After the prayer, I...
Actually, you've done it against yourself, because, you know, you're not hurting God if you don't accept salvation, his mercy. You're hurting yourself. God is going to be alive forevermore. He's sitting in heavenly places. And we're down here. We're in this junk shop down here, and we're this is actually a place where we can prepare our souls for eternity. And so you, if you sin, a sin that God says not to do, and you think that you can continue doing it, well, then you're thumbing your nose at God, but you're thumbing your nose at the wrong party, because God won't take that lightly at the judgment bar. He'll be there forever, and you'll be in the lake of fire. So, you know, a lot of people think that the Lord is weeping if you sin. Believe me, he's not, okay? He just offered you a chance. He wept because he had to pay the price of to save your soul. He says that he despised the shame of the cross. Yeah, and, you know, of course, he didn't say that we're going to like the things that we have to go through in this world to make it into the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say take up a bouquet of roses that have been trimmed, all the thorns have been trimmed off of it. He says take up a cross, and you got to go through the fire. We have to go through fire to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and it's going to be persecutions and character assassinations and disappointments and trials and tribulations, and people are going to tell lies about you and everything. But he says those that continue on to the end shall be saved. And so you're not hurting God. He's sitting pretty up there, and he's going to continue sinning. No one can pull him down. So if you sin, you're going to pay the price. You, not God, are going to pay the price for it. And the more souls that you would have won if you would have gotten saved, the hotter the pit of hell will be for you and the lake of fire. You say, well, you're threatening us. Yes, the Bible threatens you. The Lord is doesn't barter. He says he's no respecter of persons. If you do well, he'll bless you. And if you don't, he's going to curse you. And he tries to get that message across in this world by sending people out. But the false prophets don't tell that message, and therefore they don't care anything about your soul. And you're not going to make it into heaven if you don't hear the truth and follow it. So, you know, to me, the little bit of fire, the little bit of fuego that we go through in this world to make it into the kingdom of heaven is nothing in compared to the glorious, beautiful, wonderful place that the Lord has prepared for those that love him and keep his commandments. But hell is another place that's been prepared by the Lord. He stated that he has to enlarge hell in these last days. Hell is enlarged in order to accommodate all the people in this world that are going to be there for eternity in the lake of fire. It's enlarged. All he has to do is say, hell, be enlarged. Lake of fire, be enlarged. Intensify. He knows the ones that have sinned and repented and that you just hate God. You see them saying that God is a maniac or something, that he says, here's all the things in the world, and but you can't touch them. That isn't true. The Lord shows you that there are things in this world, and he says that you can have them too, but in the way that the Lord says you can. You can be married. You can have sex. There's no such thing. God never intended for people to be saying safe sex. All sex, according to the Lord, is, if you do it his way, is safe. If you're married to a woman that is a Christian and she's not a prostitute. But if she is a prostitute and she asks the Lord to enter into her, then she's just as white and clean and clear. Now, some blacks out there may think that I'm prejudiced, but I'm just saying what the Bible says. I'm not prejudiced at all. We have our band is all black people, and I believe that we all become one in Christ Jesus. But he depicts sin as being black. He says we must be as white as snow. And the black people are just as white as snow when they repent and keep the commandments. We're all the same color in the kingdom of heaven. We're all gold. I saw that in visions that the Lord has shown me. So don't try to, split hairs with me and try to accuse me. Many of our people in the church are black people, and they're really good Christians. And we have a lot of Hispanics. We have people from Puerto Rico. We've got Indians and Japanese people, all types of people. If you'll read the literature, you'll see some of the biggest work we do is in India and in Africa and the Philippines. So there's, all people must be born again of the Spirit, washing the blood. And Christ is the Savior of all people who repent and keep the gospel, keep the commandments, fear him and keep his commandments. So I'm the last person that would be prejudiced. I believe that God created all people and that he died for all people. So get that out of your little pea-picking brain, okay? And then what?
After the prayer, I asked my friend, where did he get it? He said he wrote a letter to
Where did he get what? The piece newsletter. Of literature, the newsletter that I had written? Okay, then what?
He said he wrote a letter to you and you sent it to him. I told him that he should give me the address so that I will write and get my own. So, sir, I beg you with much respect, I request you to please, please send me one of the books and a Bible.
We want you to send, we'll send you the Messiah book and we'll send you a Bible and we'll send you all the literature as well. Then what?
I hope you will send me all that I have requested from you. Remain blessed continuously in the Lord. Thank you for taking time reading my letter. Sincerely yours, W.N. from South Kearney, New Jersey.
And God bless you too, son. Praise the Lord. Sounds, I love sincere people and that are sincerely love the Lord. But I don't, have much compassion for people that thumb their nose at God. I don't have, the Bible says for us to hate the devil. He says we can't love two masters. You cannot love Jesus and love Satan or satanic people. Now, we're to give to the poor and needy. That means to give to all the people in the world because they're poor and needy, the gospel. We feed them the bread of life and the water of life. And, of course, if they get saved and then they want to move into our facilities, they're welcome as the flowers in May. If they love the Lord and we see that they're on fire for God, they want to really serve him. And if they keep the rules at the church. And we do have rules. I mean, we're a no-fringe church, and we are a no-nonsense church at all. Don't think that we don't have fun, because my fun is kicking the devil's posterior. I love kicking that weasel around. And the way you kick the devil around is by preaching the word. There isn't anything that makes Satan more angry than to preach the word of God in its fullness and to not be fearful and unbelieving. Not be fearful of what people will do to you or say to you or cut you off from different opportunities in the world. if you teach the truth. If you're ashamed of the gospel, the Lord will be ashamed of you. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of God that he's came into the world, the word of God, and kept all the commands, taught us all about God so that he's not arbitrary any longer. There's no question of what God is. Now we know all about God and how to be saved, and that he died on the cross, shed his precious blood on the cross so that we could be saved, if we accept that by faith, and that he rose from the dead. This is the good news, that by him being in us, we also, after we expire, that on the day of judgment, on the last day, we are also, if we have the Spirit of God in us, we will be raised from the dead as well. The only way we're going to have the Spirit of God in us, God is the Spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And Christ is in him, and the Holy Spirit is God is the Holy Spirit. And so when he enters into us, we have his eternal life. We have immortality. If we continue on in doing, allowing him to do his will in and through us. And if we're just going to be like the people of the world, there's no testimony that God is alive in this world and in and through us. And so therefore we must be intelligent and say, well, how can we be intelligent when we're stupid? Well, because the Lord says, learn the word of God and do what it says, and then people will believe that you're intelligent. If you don't know, like we had a person in the church the other day, I had them cleaning up one of the big buildings that we have because I wanted to take in some of these refugees from New Orleans and Houston and all the other places in between. We could house probably 200-300 people in that building. And so there's a rest home right next to our building there, and we've always used to drive. One of the boys, the men over there, the man came from the rest home just trying to be a good neighbor and be pleasant with him. And he says, what are you doing over here and everything? He says, well, this is a corporate deal. And tried to make what we're doing a mystery instead of explaining to the man that, you know, we're... this is a church and the name of the church and that we're preparing the place and trying to make a lovely place for our refugees to come to. And he made it look extremely cultish. And see, I don't do things like that. I explain everything to people. Well, of course, Buster heard about it, and he called the man up and says, no, sir, you know, we're so-and-so church, and we're just going over here and preparing the place for some of these refugees that are homeless now and need a place to stay for a few days or a few weeks or months, however long it takes for them to recover in these cities that they've been evacuating. And Houston has 4 million people over there, and they actually, it's amazing, they actually evacuated 2 million, half of Houston. That's an incredible thing. I used to live in Houston. I lived there for about 2 or 3 years when I was with the American Health Studios at Silhouette Figure Form as a district manager at that time. Later I became a executive vice president of the company. And I still communicate with the people in the company that had Family Fitness Center and now are part of 24-hour health spas. And because they're friends of mine, and you know, they're I witness to them, and they know I'm no cult. They know that the people in the church are not cults, but some people have never learned how to be intelligent and to let the Lord speak through them. The Lord never would have said, "Well, this is a corporate deal that we're doing here." They said, "Well, we're fixing this place up for people that are homeless and that need a place to stay for a while." After Buster explained that to the man was exceedingly friendly, and he says, well, you know, from time to time we have ambulances coming up here, and he says, just make sure that you don't block the driveway because we're communally using the driveway together. It's always been that way. It's a big three-story building, and gosh, we can get 200-300 people in that place. There's a nice kitchen in there. It used to be a halfway house. And I just want everybody to know, you know, that we were the first ones to bring aid to the people there in New Orleans. We took truckloads of things down to them with our trucks. and we're preparing places for them as much as we possibly can. And we pray that the government, we even offered to help distribute the different goods that they have, because we understand that there's so much red tape that people have to stand in line. When they're dealing with the Red Cross, they stand in line for hours. But with us, I mean, when we get something to distribute, we distribute it immediately. There's no red tape. We can obviously see that the people are in need, and we don't need to ask them for papers. Jesus never asked them to fill out papers or what religion are you and all these different stupid questions when you're soaking wet and you're filthy and you haven't got any place to go and they see your babies in your arm and everything. Red Cross is saying, now you got to fill these papers out. And what's this other organization that the
FEMA.
Yeah, FEMA, yeah. They said there's just so much red tape. And so, but the government said, no, we don't want you. The Antichrist government says, we don't want you helping the people. Well, that goes to show, you know, and I'm trying to convey to you what we're dealing with this Antichrist government. And so, well, we just want to let you know that we tried, and we're trying to, and we fixed the place up, and we put new lights in the place, and painted it real nice, and put in brand new air conditioning and heating to make it more comfortable for everybody there. It's brand new. And they were putting in new beds and sheets and pillowcases and mattresses, stoves, refrigerators so they can cook, and fixing the bathroom stuff real nice. And that man, you know, with the rest of them, understood that very well. And I pray you do, too. All right? But I'm saying this because I don't want our people to just say, yeah, it's a corporate deal. I want them to explain what we're doing, because what we're doing is of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And how would that man in the restroom know that we're of the Lord if we don't show them what we're doing? That's what I'm saying. So you've got to speak up. You've got to let the Lord speak through you. And you needn't be ashamed of what we're doing over here. We're getting the gospel out to the entire world. And we need your support. If you have something that you'd like distributed, there was a company that was going to give us a bunch of shoes to distribute for them, and then they says, oh no, no, Tony Alamo has something to do. We're not going to, we don't want Tony to shine. Well, I'm not doing it for me. My name isn't even involved with it. I just want to go to where the people are. There was a bunch of people in Fort Chaffee, and we went over there and said, what do you people need? I didn't go over there. I sent some of our men over there and some of our women. They said, we desperately need shoes and socks. And so we called the different companies. They said, yeah, we'll do it. So we said, if you have problems of, you know, you don't have enough people to distribute things, we'll go over there and distribute them for you if you like. Because we know that you're short-handed. And we see people on television standing in lines, and they need stuff, and they're soaking wet, and they don't have shoes and socks anymore. If you want us to, we'll distribute it. If you don't, well, then, you know, go ahead. You know, Red Cross, you know, if you want to make a bad name for yourself, and FEMA, if you want to make a bad name for yourself, and hold these things off and make people standing in up to their waist in waters fill out papers. I mean, haven't we seen enough of this stuff? Why don't we get the entire general public involved here to help distribute this stuff? Because we've got hundreds and hundreds of people in that particular area, and we could easily go down and distribute this stuff. But no. It's such an evil, rotten, filthy, degenerate world. Back the Church of the Lord up. You know, if you see a church doing like what we're doing and preaching the truth, well, back them up. God will bless you. He'll give you 100-fold for it. Okay, we're not jealous like other churches of churches. I haven't got a jealous bone in my body. We're just trying to help. All right, and so let's continue on here. I mean, these things just get me in my craw, and I just have to, you know, vent these things on you. So that you can tell, you know, that there are people in the world that are trying to do good, but there are also people in the world that are trying to prevent people from doing good for people. The Lord created all these people, and he wants us to do unto them as though it were us. We're to treat people, even prefer people, above ourselves. How would you like it, you that are sitting in your comfortable homes over there, how would you, or your cars, your automobile, how would you like it if you're up to your waist and your little kids are in your arms? How would you like it if they said, okay, now you got to fill out paper, you got to stand, go to the back of the line, there's only 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 more people back there. It will probably get to you in about 3 or 4 days. How would you feel? Wouldn't you want there to be thousands of people out there helping with an arm full of help? Wouldn't you like that? Or wouldn't you like more people like the Alamo Christian Church to just help you? I mean, we're not looking for any money. We'd just like to help you. Say, you're saying, Len, how long have you been here? What do you need? Well, first of all, you need to get out of this water, right? We've got a building over here. We can take 200 or 300 of you. And then if everyone got involved, somebody could take 10, some 20, some maybe 1,000. Who knows? But they wouldn't be standing up waist deep or up to their ankles in water. And we've got shoes for you. Okay? So-and-so organization gave us some shoes to distribute to you. The shoe industry. Wouldn't that be a better world? It sure would. And then to give you a hot meal and everything and provide a nice place for your little children to nestle down and go to sleep and keep you nice and warm. This building that I'm talking about is like a fortress. The walls are about 2 or 3 feet thick, and it's 3 stories high. And it's we're just trying to make it as comfortable as we can for people, because they say it's going to be weeks or months before the water goes down. All right? And we're here to help if you want help. And those of you that don't need help, but you've got something that you could help with, then send it in here, okay? And God will bless you 100-fold. Kai, okay, what's next?
A letter from Dedza, Malawi. Dear Christian...
Where's Malawi? See, you got to tell it to me. A lot of people don't know where... What's the name of that place?
Dedza, Malawi, Africa.
Africa, okay, see? So you can see we're not prejudiced. We put in water wells over there, and we've sent trucks over and truckloads of food and everything. And we don't like to say everything that we do, because we know that if we do, that we won't get any reward from the Lord. But we want you to know that this is a work of the Lord and that we're doing that. We've evacuated Jews that were being persecuted in Russia. We brought them over to Israel, and we even set up food lines for them over there to where they could have food. And the ones that weren't able to get on the airplanes at that time, we set up food lines in Russia. And there's all kinds of stuff. Like in Mongolia. There are a lot of people in Mongolia, the children that were living in the sewers, and it was cold. They were freezing to death down there. And there was a Christian work that was soliciting funds to build dormitories for these children, warm dormitories with heating. And we built dorms for them in Mongolia. So, you know, we're a work of the Lord, people, all right? Because if we didn't prefer people above ourselves, then we wouldn't be getting any blessings from the Lord at all. And I'm telling you, the Lord says that you won't either. At the judgment bar, or the mercy seat of Christ, he'll commend you for it. He'll say, you did this for me. And you'll say, Lord, how did we do that for you? He said, inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of my people, you did it unto me. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me to drink when I was thirsty. You visited me when I was in prison and in hospitals. You visited me. And when I was naked, you clothed me. It doesn't say you put shoes on, but that's clothing your feet. Amen? To put shoes and socks on you. And, you know, whatever we've got, it's yours. It's yours, all right? We don't think we have anything if we weren't willing to share it with you. But if you're a devil, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. You won't get anything from us. But we'll preach the gospel, and if you repent, I don't care how big of a devil you were before, if you repent and the devil comes out of you, you're welcome here as the flowers in May, All right? I don't care, homosexuals, lesbians, if you get saved, you can come. Y'all come if you're saved, amen? And we're doing our best. But the Lord is doing his best through us to convince you to get in and before it's everlastingly too late, because the plagues, as I said, as the Bible says, are going to get worse and worse. That's from disease, from soup to nuts, from earthquakes to diseases, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, and there's no cease. Whenever the Lord gets ticked off enough, he'll pour fire and brimstone down. If you think you're safe in Denver or someplace, he'll get you. You can't hide from the Lord. Or if you're on the Mount Fujiyama in Japan, he'll get you if he wants to. If you're bad enough, you'll come. You want to get noticed? Just keep it up. If you want to be noticed for good, though, support the work and get saved yourself. And come on, join the Christian army. Onward, Christian soldiers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Christian friends, greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Almighty One. The main reason of writing this letter is to inform you that I was moved by your literature, which a certain pastor, who is a friend of mine, shared with me to read. After I had finished reading the literature, everything really completely changed, and my faith even went higher than before. May you please, if possible, send me any literature and a Bible. Presently, we have 52 people in our church, and almost three-quarters of the congregation knows how to read English very well. Allow me to ask you to pray for the following request. Please pray against satanic forces, because here in Malawi, there are Satanists.
Yes, so what we need to do, you pray against that, but the Bible says that the world is saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. So you can't pray people saved. You can pray that God will prepare their hearts, but you actually have to go there with the gospel. And so what you need to do, sir, is, brother, is to take the gospel tracts and go to these devil-possessed people and pray, God, let them receive what is written on these pages. And they will get saved. We've had people that are murdering people that got saved from this literature. We have people that were witchcraft or were sacrificing their own children, cannibals, all kinds of different people that got saved from this literature, but you got to get it to them. Some people that were out in the jungle so far, there's no telephone, no faxes, no television, nothing. No radio communication, they had nothing. They're just running around, you know, with the bear, just barely even clothed. And they got saved. And we got, we're witch doctors, witches, people that believed in murder, killing. So if you'll get to, remember, it doesn't say that God wins the world by the foolishness of praying. He says by the foolishness of getting the gospel to them. Praying will not save souls. You pray that somebody will get to them with the gospel. You pray that God will reveal the gospel to them. But he said that it pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And that's so clear that that can't be an arbitrary situation. You've got to get the gospel to them, or else they're going to get to you. So you've got to get to those witch doctors and all those kind of people before they get to you, because they believe in killing people and drinking blood and killing your children. So this is a bad world. It's evil. It's filled with evil. But we, if the kingdom of heaven gets to them, there's a possibility they could repent, and we see a lot of people doing that, and the world becomes a better place to live in and a safer place to live in if you get the gospel to them. Okay, then what?
Please pray that all the Satanist houses be in disorder.
I pray that they get saved. They're already in disorder, all right?
Yeah.
That's why we preach the gospel here, is to get everybody's head screwed on right. In other words, you take your head and put the mind of Christ in there. The Lord didn't come to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. He came here that the world might be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And pray that God breaks the power of Satan in their lives.
Well, that's what we want, yeah. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Let the people there get the gospel to them so that the power of Satan will be broken in them. Lord, if they read this literature and if they listen to these tapes, the power of Satan will be broken in them. They're going to be responsible. When they hear the truth and they receive it, they'll be saved, and if they reject it, they'll be cursed. You'll pile a heaps of coals of fire upon their heads. So this is a proper way to do that, folks. If you don't get the gospel to people, things are going to get worse and worse. And God, the worse people get, you see the actual things that are happening in this world today, everybody. This is actually a reflection of what's going on in everybody's soul out there. God is reacting to this world because of what you're thinking and doing. If you think, put on the mind of Christ and start doing what he says, the curses will start coming off the world and off of you. Okay, so what's going on in the world is caused by you. What's going on in you? If you see trials and tribulations and all these assassinations and bombings and so on, this is because of you. The administration is sending people over there to bomb them, and even a rat will come out fighting if you come against it. And so you can feel that if you go over there and start bombing people's moms, dads, grandmas, and their little children, that they're going to retaliate. What we need to do is get to them with the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're going to just say, no, the gospel won't work, that's only because you're not working the gospel. You're not getting it out there. But you people can hear these different messages from people that are repenting by the literature. And so if you really care about human souls, and if you care about your own family and your loved ones, and your even the people around you that are causing you trouble, then get the gospel to them. And they become friendly with you. If you're anti-black, well, then stop being that way and get the gospel to them. Well, we're fearful of them because they do this and that. Well, there's more crime from them than anybody else. Well, then get the gospel to them. Amen?
Amen.
The only reason that there's more crime is because nobody's getting the gospel to them. Well, the Hispanics, you know, out in Pacoima, out here in L.A., and Van Nuys, man, there, the drive-by shootings, get the gospel to them. Once the person that belongs to these gangs, the Bloods, the Crips, the Mexican Mafia, and the skinheads, and the Nazis, and all these other people, bicycle gangs, the Hells Angels, and all, we preach the gospel to them, and a lot of them have gotten saved. And things have simmered down wherever we go. And you want to want to do the same thing? If you can't get out, if you're invalid or something, and you need finances or something, send something in. It's 10%, so that, and if you don't, we're going to still keep going, so don't, you know, you're not going to hurt us. You're going to hurt yourself. Because when you don't support the work of God, you're robbing God of souls. And you're robbing yourself, because you could get 100 times more by everything you give God. You can't outgive him. Then what else?
Please share this with other people in your church.
I just did. And you know that we have 3 brand new radio stations in Africa, and that they hit over 500 million people. Now these people are infested with AIDS and Ebola and all kinds of other things. If they get saved and they really believe the gospel, then God said, by my stripes you were healed, and he'll heal them. And if they get healed, then we don't have to worry about all these diseases coming from Africa. And we get to the Chinese. Our literature is printed in Chinese. These diseases that are coming from the Chinese people that are infested will stop, because they'll get saved and healed, and everywhere in the world. But listen, you've got to, if you don't believe the gospel, believe it. Do what it says. You'll see. There'll be a change. If you've got some bad people, the people that are really bothering you, ask. Write in for some, or call in for some of the literature that we have, and we'll send it to you and give it to them. If you're ashamed or too afraid to give it to them, lay it on their desk at the office. They won't know it's you. Be a Nicodemus, be a secret Christian, and watch that person's life change. And if they're devils, watch them become infuriated. Watch them become infuriated. but you didn't let him know who it was. You know, you're kind of sneaky. And, but it'll be a lot better for you. You got a bad supervisor. It's just, it's like giving you the business every day and making your life a semi-hell here on earth. Get the gospel to him. Okay, I'm telling you the right thing, people. All right, now what else?
Also pray for our nation to be revived. We will expect...
Our nation, we're praying for the whole world to be saved. And we're getting the gospel to the whole world. Not just our nation. That's greedy. That's selfish. The Lord says, get the gospel to every tongue, every kindred, everywhere in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we do. So forget just about our nation, but get the gospel to our nation and to the rest of the world. Okay, because that's what the Lord sent us to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right, what else?
We will expect a change in lives in our cities, towns, and villages.
And the world. Sie Welt. Okay, what else?
I shall be very grateful if I hear from you soon. You are special people. Keep it up, writing the literature. May God bless you, Pastor D.N. from Dedza, Malawi, Africa.
You're a special person, too. Just, yeah, let's get a tape to him, this tape, and get some literature to him and have him start working out. Get the gospel to him. And we pray that God will prepare the hearts of those people. And now, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, now chapter 11 of the book of Mark, New Testament. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, here is chapter 11, Mark.
The triumphant entry, translation verse 1.
The triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. All right, then what?
As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Verse 2, quote, go into that village over there, he told them, and as soon as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Verse 3, if anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. Unquote. Verse 4, the two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the house. Verse 5, as they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, quote, what are you doing untying that colt? Unquote. Verse 6, they said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Verse 7, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Verse 8, many in the crowd spread their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and others cut leafy branches in the fields and spread them along the way. Verse 9, he was in the center of the procession, and the crowds all around him were shouting, quote, praise God! Exclamation mark. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Exclamation mark. Verse 10, bless the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Exclamation mark. Praise God in the highest heaven! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 11, so Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. He looked around carefully at everything, and then he left because it was late in the afternoon. Then he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. Jesus curses the fig tree. Verse 12, the next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus felt hungry. Verse 13, he noticed a fig tree a little way off that was in full leaf. So he went over to see if he could find any figs on it. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Verse 14, then Jesus said to the tree, quote, may no one ever eat your fruit again! Exclamation mark, unquote. And the disciples heard him say it. Jesus clears the temple. Verse 15. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the merchants and their customers. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the stalls of those selling doves. Verse 16. And stopped everyone from bringing in merchandise. Verse 17. He taught them, quote, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a place of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Unquote. Verse 18. When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him. But they were afraid of him because the people were so enthusiastic about Jesus' teaching. Verse 19. That evening, Jesus and the disciples left the city. Verse 20. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed that it was withered from the roots.
It doesn't take long for people. You know, the Lord describes or uses as a parable trees as people. He says, everyone that brings forth good fruit, everyone that does not bring forth good fruit shall be hewn down. And he also adds abundant fruit. So he says that we're like trees, and so it's amazing. In the 41 years that I've been in the ministry, I've noticed when people don't receive the real harsh, raw truth of the Word of God, I see them start shriveling up, and their face even changes. They get a hard look on their face, and they start just withering up, and they can't do anything. You see them dying like flies around you and everything. It's like that tree is like symbolic of let not the fruit be given from you any longer. There was no fruit on the tree, so it means there's no fruit on it. So he's, how could anybody eat fruit from off the tree that doesn't give fruit? Okay, so let not any fruit be born by you again or ever be eaten of you again. If you're not going to be a fruitful Christian by preaching the gospel to people to make this a better world and to win human souls to salvation so they can escape hell, then the Lord will wither you. You'll wither. You see people sometimes, I've seen people and all of a sudden they just show their come out of the closet and show themselves. They had beautiful faces and a really healthy looking skin, and a month later they just were like, it was amazing how much they had changed. They don't even look like the same person. And I'm sure some of you have seen people like that before too, if you're old enough. And then what else?
Verse 21. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, quote, "Look, teacher!" The fig tree you cursed has withered! Unquote. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, quote, "Have faith in God." Verse 23. "I assure you that you can say to this mountain, 'May God lift you up and throw you into the sea,' and your command will be obeyed. All that is required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your hearts." Verse 24. "Listen to me!" You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. Verse 25. "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins as well." Verse 26. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." The authority of Jesus challenged. Verse 27. By this time they had arrived in Jerusalem again. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders came up to him. They demanded, verse 28, quote, "By whose authority did you drive out the merchants from the temple? Who gave you such authority?" Unquote. Verse 29. I'll tell you who gave me authority to do these things if you answer one question." Unquote. Verse 30. Jesus replied, quote, "Did John's baptism come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me!" Unquote. Verse 31. They talked it over among themselves. Quote, "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe him." Verse 32. "But do we dare say it was merely human?" Unquote. For they were afraid that the people would start a riot, since everyone felt John was a prophet. Verse 33. So they finally answered, quote, "We don't know." Unquote. And Jesus responded, quote, "Then I won't answer your question either." Unquote.
All right. So that was the 33 verses of chapter 11 of Mark, and now we have commentary.
11, verse 1 through 10. "Before I was saved, I was suffering a lot of bitterness because of the way that I saw the world. In reality, I didn't know it, but it was coming to an end. I was looking for instant relief. I was praying that something would happen to sweep all this bitterness away. The Judeans were expecting the very same kind of deliverance from their Messiah. They wanted a glorious political king or warrior to ride into Jerusalem and destroy the Romans out of power. Instead, Jesus came riding on a lowly donkey in peace. When we're saved, born again of the Spirit, we are instantly cured from any desire like that. But for those who don't repent, God doesn't offer any instant cure. And even after we're saved, there's a process that we must go through in order to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins with us inside, and we grow outwardly to where people can see the growth in us. The Lord helps us to recognize how much we were sinners and how we must abstain from sin permanently. The reason is because of the fact that he bought us from under the curse of the law, and we don't belong to ourselves any longer. And he wants us to let him live in and through us. If we do that, all we need is his help, and he gives it to us, the strength to take the necessary steps to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it.
Now, growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, I've been explaining to everybody in the world that that means that you are partakers of one body, the body of Christ. Not religion, but the body of Christ. Salvation is of the Lord, religion is of the devil. Religion is of the devil, salvation is of the Lord. Religion never saved a soul. Salvation is what the Lord is what saves souls. Okay, is who saves souls. Okay, then what?
In other words, Jesus came to pay the price to the law so that the law would release us unto him. We're in the custody of Jesus because he bails us out of the condemnation of the law, completely takes us away or fulfills the law's requirements that someone had to die. So he does it for us and then gives us the right through adoption. He adopts us to be the sons of God so that we no longer are under the condemnation of the law, but that we now, by walking in the Spirit, are the sons of God.
And not the sons of Adam or the sons of the devil any longer. All right, then what?
And we continue being the sons of God by being in the Spirit. So we consecrate ourselves that we are no longer under the condemnation of the law. 11 verse 12 through 19. The barren fig tree is a figure or symbol or type to spiritually bankrupt people, people who have never won any souls. They don't have anything to offer the gospel of the Lord. They are not consecrated unto him. So if the fig tree did not produce fruit as it was designed to do, and it's supposed to when it saw the Messiah coming, it should have sprouted forth.
All right, I see that our time is up. We're going to continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. Tomorrow, God willing, we're going to be doing chapter 12, and then we'll finish up. But before that, we're going to finish up with part 5 of Character, and we'll have some more letters for you. So until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and I would instruct you to praise the Lord, keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and God bless you. Amen.